We're all playing in the same band. There's enough guitars for you and me. Stand beside your brother and take his hand. Seems the times are changing, finally. We're all playing in the same band. Sing the song together and you'll see. Let them know forever just where you stand. People must be learning finally. And we're all playing in the same band. We're all playing in the same band. We're all playing in the same.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Artie Kornfeld.
Well, yeah, I was just in Sweden. Hello, everybody. It's me, Artie. I had to change my socks. So I went to Rorimart in Sweden and I skated. Anyway, welcome to the spirit of the Woodstock Nation. Today I got a really pull for that because I was really happy, by the way, that the people in Wisconsin voted and A million people want to recall that governor, you know, the governor who wants to kill all the unions and made unions illegal in his state, you know, firing policemen right there because they want to be in unions and bringing scabs like. So that's on that side. But on the rock and roll side, welcome to the spirit. I pulled into a good one. That sort of brought me down. Then there was something, you know, something about Yasgur's Farm and that, you know, some people might be trying to do something with it. And I hope that's not true because, Max's, Yasgur's, those 40 acres where the stage and field was are so important. I mean, so much to so many people. I've never been back there. I was back there when they put the monument down and I didn't go to Bethel Woods when they were going to have the Artie, the dedication to Artie Day with Crosby, Stills, and Nash and all that. But anyway, I'm here with a band called Gravel Switch that my friend Pat Scully just happened to send me a cut. I get so many things to listen to, and I'm doing, you know, working with Davin McCoy. It's really all a lot of work. So, but I love music, so I get to hear music. And this is really rock and roll, and it's really good, excellent rock and roll. And Josh, the lead of the band, I really respect him. I mean, you know, I know his day job, I know his trip. So we'll put on a cut by Gravel Switch and get ready to wake up, get ready to rock and, you know, let the layoffs. It just happened to another friend of mine, a six-figure friend, laid off, you know, hardly any severance. You know, it's all the drag. So let's just fucking rock and roll. Oh, pardon me. That was Frugan. This is Frugan.
Running 65. turning 65. Can't see through the hay or these bloodshot eyes. You said you're leaving just to say goodbye, and you left me feeling this pain inside. These emotions are running my life, taking control day and night. These emotions are running my life, feel like they're draining me dry. You left me no choice.
Got the spirit, you got the spirit of life, the spirit of Woodstock. You don't have to be on the field. It's something that happened that was a miracle, so much that people that weren't there actually feel like they were there, and therefore they are there. It's about peace, surviving, changing the world, you know, stopping wars. It's about green earth. It's about a lot of stuff. And then Pat Scully played me this cut by Gravel Switch. You just heard Gravel Switch doing. Is it Drive or Driving?
Driver.
Josh. And this is Josh, and Josh and I talked, and Josh, tell me a little about yourself. I mean, you know, when did you start picking or writing or playing, and you felt it might be, well, you knew it would always be in your life, I know that, but when did you first notice it, the bug?
The bug hit me when I was probably about 11 years old. My dad was always really big into music, wide variety of music, but he had a lot of old VHS tapes of AC/DC, and he was watching one of them one night, and I was watching Angus Young run around, and I just thought, man, that's what I want to do. I mean, it was that simple, that clear. That same summer, I went and bought a guitar, and I ain't looked back.
Really? Really? Well, you sure play good. How long did it take for the band? Where did the guys come from, and how did it melt to come together into Gravel Switch? Did you have other bands before? Or?
Actually, this is my first and truly only band. It came together about 10 years ago, and we have cycled through so many different members. I mean, but our basic core unit we have right now, like our bass player actually used to be our original singer and rhythm guitar player. So I guess.
So there's obviously no ego in your band, because it doesn't matter who does what. It's who does what best, right?
Pretty much. We were very fortunate, especially in the vocal aspect. We have three guys in the band that are all capable of being frontmen on, you know, in any other band.
Right.
We definitely take advantage of it at our live shows.
Right. Did I really say I went to Sweden and had a sex change? Yes, I did. So let me ask you something. Josh, did you go to Sweden and have the change too?
No, sir. No, sir.
And I'm not putting down anybody who has that in their body that they have to do that, because what a frustration that must be, you know, to live in a body and not feel it, you know, and to get back to a place where you're comfortable with yourself. They must go through a lot of shit, huh?
More than what I want to go through.
Yeah, well, we all go through it, you know. We all have our things in life, you know. In my book, The Pied Piper of Woodstock, there's life, there's death, there's cocaine addiction, there's recovery, there's Woodstock, of course. You know, and it's, you know, who does the writing?
Writing is kind of split up between all of us, essentially. Mainly one guy comes in with an idea or a piece that he thinks is really good, and we all sit down together and we, you know, put our best efforts into it and see where we can't take it.
Yeah, you know, it's sick, but this is like a clear channel station or a radio station. You know, you might have already signed away 10% of any downloads, you know, and half of your merchandising just to be on the show. Yeah, that's really how this came about. It was Z-Man's and Tony's concept for, you know, Artists First, you know, to do a lot of shows, but the music. And then once I agree with what they were saying till now, you know, yeah, I have had, you know, the big action Woodstock, and people seem to really be getting off on hearing music that they would be hearing on radio, and they should be, but they're not, because they don't have the 100,000 or 200,000 for the promotion. And, you know, it's rare to get a good band that has that kind of money for the, you know, so that's why there's so many female singers happening right now, because, you know, I ran through major labels, and it's easier to break, you know, just a sexy looking, you know, female singer, you know, that's what people want to hear right now. But they do want rock and roll, and it's, you know, we got 23 countries, and it's just starting to rock in India and in Korea, too, you know, it's like back in the... back in the late 90s. So they're at that point in music. So when did you record your first tapes? Whether they were, you know, because everything we've all done with demos at the beginning, and some turn into masters, some turn into being demos forever. You know, when's the first demo you cut with the band?
Our first demo came out in 2008. It was called What You Make of Me. We kind of rode that one for a while, and we were pretty satisfied with the results on it, but of course it didn't go as well as what we had planned it to be. Our last album that just has came out under Medical Records, 2011, is phenomenal. We're really excited about getting back into the studio. We're hoping to actually have another album out this summer, and we're all really getting antsy on this one. Got some really kind of off-the-wall stuff for what we would normally do.
Yeah, you know what? You know, I could hear in the music, and I could hear in you that you don't do it for the money. You do it for the music.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Yeah. One of my biggest passions on playing music is at every one of our live shows, we try to incorporate an acoustic set into mm-hmm. the show. And that, to me, is... I love that, because... Yeah, I mean, we all like to rock, but when you strip away all the distortion and everything, and you just sit down and it's just you, your voice, and the guitar, you know, there's nothing to hide behind, and, you know, either you feel it or you don't.
Yeah, you know, you're lucky that you're in a band, because I had a hit duet, and we went top 30 and had a tour and played for 10 and 20,000 people in 63, and... I was thinking about the performance and being a band, and always wished that instead of me going back to doing what I was doing and, you know, but just climbing the executive ladder in the industry and stop writing and producing, and all of a sudden I was like running A&R companies, and always wish I could. My friends are all great musicians, including you, and always wish that I would have kept that, you know. It's like... because I started around 11 to first grade, you know, I got a trumpet for a dollar a month with lessons, and that's what it was where we lived. I didn't live in a very, 1% residence, you know. Policemen in New York really can't afford to live in be 1% people. So Drive, and your fate was music. The next song is Fate. Did you have any reason you wrote this song, or did you just... pick up the guitar, and what came out was it a chorus or a verse? Or? What hit you to write this song?
This song I actually wrote, I was about 18 years old, and I was just kind of getting out of a relationship, and really what inspired me, I was just sitting down with a piece of paper kind of writing how I felt, and the chorus kind of came out to me, and everything just sort of flowed so natural. I wrote the song in literally about, 10 minutes. Those are usually the best ones.
Yeah, well, I never spent more than an hour on anything, and I had about 57, chart records. I'm not bragging about it. Some was like a Wayne Newton that went to 80, or Connie Francis that went, or a Turtles that was on the B-side of, or the B-side of a Big Token hit. No, but I had my BMI awards and stuff, and all that stuff. But there was always making the music, and how wonderful, no matter what hit my life, the music straightened it out, and my faith in all the powers of the universe guiding me, because I am not the highest power on me in all these planets and all these, I think it's endless. So that was my fate to be here tonight, and your fate too. So here we are, with all those billions and billions and trillions of miles, and here we are tonight meeting at this point in this form, and it's fate.
I'm staring in the eyes of a life that I can have. Am I searching for the chance that has already passed? Is the light burning dim on the smile that keeps me strong? I can feel this fade away. Guess I knew it all along. And now I'm drifting. Inflicting this pain on myself. I can feel that inside your mind. I'm standing behind someone else. I don't understand your signs. Am I reading them all? I'm just wasting my time in this fable I live every day. And now I'm drifting, falling, sleep. I'm wondering.
Josh, thank you very much for that. What's the name of the guys in your band? What are the guys' names?
Of course, myself, Josh. Play guitar. Matt Moore is our bass player. Seth Wade is our lead singer, and Johnny Hodge is on the drums.
Yeah. Where did you meet? How did you guys meet?
Well, me and Matt actually met when I worked at the same place he did when I was 16 years old, and we started Gravel Switch together.
What were you doing? Something to do with gravel?
Actually, no. Matt had, there's actually a county north of us called Gravel Switch, and I guess he was driving through there, or he may have lived there for a while, I'm not real sure, but we were trying to come up with a name for this band, and he comes in, he's like, man, I've got it. You know, we got to call it Gravel Switch, and it stuck. We all loved it.
You think the Giants are going to beat San Francisco?
And I hope they do. I hope they
do.
Yeah,
me too. Me too. I felt bad that Drew Brees was terrible, and he's a good quarterback, but I can't believe Rodgers. What a terrible day, because he's incredible. And those guys weren't catching the balls, and, you know, he was always getting he doesn't get sacked, and he got sacked more than he did all year in that game.
Man,
that defense was incredible. Yeah, but being a New Yorker, you always root for the Giants. You got to root for the Giants. Although, you know, I don't like Boston, but they are so good. And Brady is such an incredible quarterback, you know. But I hope the Giants go all the way. You know, I went to Green Bay, and I was really confused because I've been watching Green Bay all years. You know, I actually, you know, Davin McCoy got pissed at me because Atlanta was playing, I think it was playing Green Bay, and I told them the score, you know, that they were going to lose. He said, don't do that, you'll jinx it. And it happened. Then I did it 2 weeks in a row, and that was when they had their losing streak. So, you know, I'm not going to do predictions for people.
Fred's pretty heartbroken over that one, man. He's been wanting to see New England and the Packers all year long. That's all he's been talking about.
Yeah, it's sort of weird because I'll tell you real quick, when Joe Namath was signed to me at Capitol, we were buddies, and I, you know, I went to that game in Miami when the Jets knocked off Baltimore, and then I had Joe Frazier that year, and I was sitting right in the second row when he beat Ali in the first fight, you know, so it was really being the head of running the East Coast and being the head of rock at a big label has its advantages.
Obviously.
Even if you like athletics, you know. So, and it was cool for the Dodgers because they had four seats, and the head of vice president of promotion would give me four seats, like 10 rows behind the dugout. You know, once every team that came in, I got one day with four seats. So a lot of people that wouldn't get to go to games got to go to games. Lying. Is Lying one of those 10-minute songs? It sounds like you put, I don't know, like you put 12 into this one.
No, it's actually a song that kind of wasn't meant to be. It was just some lyrics that Seth wrote down, and I was actually getting ready to leave practice, and the guys just started jamming on a piece of music, and then on my way out, I stopped, and I was like, wait a minute, we've got to go back and work on that for a little while longer, and again, it just sort of fell into place in a couple of minutes, but it's actually one of all of our personal favorites off of the album.
Yeah. You know, it's really weird. You produce yourself.
Yes. The entire album, we pretty well laid out completely on our own. Of course, we did have a producer there at the studio that did help us add some extras, some overlays and things there, but 95% of the stuff was, you know, produced completely on our own.
Yeah. I always kept it sort of free because, you know, every time I went in, I had Gads and Lemon and McCracken and Shelly Yakis engineering and at the record plant or Hit Factory. I was real spoiled, you know, but I'm thinking back to all those years leading up to it, you know. I don't think people realize if you're really happy and you're working 14 hours a day, you're not really in the music industry in any way, you know. Boy, it's a barracuda industry. It sure is. People that need to protect you. I'll protect you. We'll just fight whatever anybody does. Because some of them are lying, and that's what this song is called, Lying. Yes, and one may wonder why, with the written out in front of me, what the name of the next song is. I'm reading it, me asking Z-Man, what's the name of the next song? I don't know why, but sometimes you're just getting that kind of feeling. It's you know, almost like the days of the Cool Reds. So anyway, do you guys play out? No. First of all, how do you get your stuff, man? Because it's really good stuff, and, you know, people, you know, I wouldn't mind hearing this at all, you know, honestly.
You can pick it up at any major online distributor, iTunes, Amazon, or, you know, Walmart. You can also go to breathefire.com, and it's downloadable there. Of course, we sell download cards at all of our shows and CDs. With that being said, if anybody out there listening to this tonight, if you're digging it, hit us up on our Facebook page, and the first five people that will send us an email telling us that you like it, we'll send you a free download card. You can have it for free.
Right, and like the big rock stars, you get Josh for a weekend with every download.
If you're close to Jamestown, you can have me for a weekend.
Yes, right, and he's very well known because of the size of his thumb. Josh, you and me, right? Is that about you and me?
Well, it's kind of a song that was written about, someone young who passes away or leaves life too early, and about how a lot of the things that they miss out on, and is really the context that I tried to write the song in.
It's very weird because, I don't know if you know, but I lost my daughter when she was 16. So when I heard this song, it sort of like got to me.
Next two songs, actually, You and Me and the One.
Yeah, and Coming Down, right, yeah. But it's okay because I've learned to live at that place, you know just like I've learned to live. It took me 43 years to live with doing Woodstock with Lang, you know. Just the recovery of doing something, you know, sometimes it's harder. These things in life, sometimes they're really hard to get through. Sometimes you never get through them, but you just put them away and say, I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm going to keep the spirit. I'm going to keep my spirit, and you conquer pain, and you conquer loss, and you still go on and make life better for other people, and then you happen, don't you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, these two songs, were actually written about my younger brother who passed away last year. And to me, I totally understand where you're going with that. This is kind of my way of keeping him alive and letting him know, you know, I'm going to keep pursuing the dream. I mean, he was a great guitar player, himself. So, absolutely, I know exactly where you're going with that.
All right, well, I'll give you a relief here. I'm giving you half a Xanax, not that I have one here, but so you could feel good, you calm down. No, we're calm down. It takes you to a weird place, You and Me. And that's why the song's called You and Me, so why don't we hear that feeling?
Spin around, take a step back. They can't hold us down. Hold us down. The time has come and we're still young. So many places left to go. Left to go.
Here I am with the spirit, I guess the spirit of Woodstock Nation, the spirit that tomorrow will be better, because if you think that, I think it will be, yeah. Yeah, I am tired of hearing, you know, on Facebook from friends all around the country that they were laid off and this and that, and I don't like the fact that people are getting rid of their really quality people because they get too much money, and they're promoting the people down below and getting rid of the people they're paying. And while they're getting rid of people that are better and they're paying that are American workers, they're just taking bonuses. So everybody who gets laid off, it's not to hire good people so we have better products than anybody else. It's to just do their trip, you know. So they're frustrating, Josh, right?
I'm sorry.
The fact that with the economy that businesses could be making profits, and they get rid of their upper level executives, and they fire them, and they don't put it into the company to make the American product better. What they do is they just fire the better people and pay less, and then they take in bonuses. You know, it's crazy. You know, and then the company doesn't show as much product, but they don't care if the company does well. So that's why I disagree with Mr. Romney about his theories about business. Although he has an awful lot of money, but money can't buy you love. There's people like him that keep me coming down. You know, why'd you like coming down? It sort of fits with you and me.
Coming down was the first song I wrote when my brother passed away, and it's just pure, straight, raw emotion. It was what I felt that night, and I honestly didn't know if I was going to turn it into a song, and thankful that I did. But,
You know what?
I have a hard time talking about it. That song really does kind of hit me deep.
It's funny. Yeah, because we're talking like we're just friends, which is just what we are, you know, and musicians appreciating each other's talents and, going to this place in front of other people. But everybody out there has been to these places, you know, and that's why I don't hide anything from my past or, anything. Maybe what I plan to do sometimes, because I have to, you know, which is nothing. You know, I guess... I don't have to come down. And you know what? My life has been perfect. How about yours?
I have no regrets.
Right. It's a good life. It's a good day, right? Let me hear you say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let me say, vote for Sarah Palin. Oh, that made me choke and gag. I can't take it. Could you believe she started this whole thing with the Tea Party? I can't believe it. Saying, I could see the Soviet jets flying. Crazy stuff, man. Coming down.
Coming down. Seems I miss your face. And coming down. It seems I miss your embrace. All over again.
and all the games that we play.
Den, you know, with Josh in his in his place in Kentucky.
Good old Kentucky.
Good old Kentucky. You ever been to? No, there is no. Is there a big horse race in Kentucky?
Yeah, we got the Kentucky Derby, man.
Yeah. I was kidding around. I was just fooling on that. Yeah. No, I used to sell newspapers at Aqueduct to make bread in New York. You know, when I was younger, you know, I was outside the subway exit. And I have 10,000 guys. I would say, get your Lawton, your O'Reilly, all the tout sheets, you know. When you work at a racetrack, if there's six horses, you get seven tips a race, you know. And you always have to give someone some bread because they gave you the winner because six guys gave you every horse. And that's the racket they run when you work there, you know. And you're only 18, you know, and these guys are 50-year-old, like, pros at this stuff. So I guess after this wonderful night of music and sharing it with everybody out there, you know, all you people around the world, thank you so much for joining us. And all you people all over, you know, America, the greatest country in the world. And I guess I'm going to be saying goodnight to Josh and go out, play a song called You Make Me Weak. And Josh, good work, man. Great songs, great vocals, you know.
Thank you very much for having us on the show tonight. It really means a lot to us.
Yeah, well, you know what? It really meant a lot to me, too. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure meeting you, you know. It really is. So, you know what? You made me happy, but the song's called You Made Me Weak. But by listening to the music, you made me strong. So thank you.
So I can see all the hell that I've been through is for nothing. Pray for my life here on my knees.
I need someone to see me.
Lost or only, I need you here with me. Cause you make me weak, out of control, can't find my feet.
called. Some of you people I actually talked to know. I know that, you know, how many people are listening, and it's, you know, it's not always a million people, but it's always pretty much 100, 200, 300,000, and after it goes into the log, you know, some have gone to millions. How many is he, man? Shows went to millions.
I'm thinking we're topping the 16 million mark now on some of the top shows.
That's great, doing 1 hour a day. You know, if you compare Howard's ratings in reality, you know, in 1 hour, you know, at this hour, I doubt if that station has as many listeners like Sirius XM. So anyway, everybody out there, thank you so much for being here. It was a strange week, and the last song was You Make Me Weak, I Feel Strong. The music is really good. It's amazing the jewels that are in, you know, all over the world. You know, people just want to be free and make their music. And that's what that's why I wrote the song, The Pied Piper. You know, now I could have written it, hey, you 99%ers, follow me, I'm the Pied Piper. Anyway. As a man that I spent years of my life producing and was a dear friend, Bert Sommer, who writes, was an incredible singer and writer, and I'm proud of my work with him, and he just gave us that saying that we all used for so long. I went back to it, and everybody, hold the light. Thank you so much, and thanks for keeping the spirit, and, you know, we are going to win. The other guys are not going to win in this world. We're not going to let them take us down. So anyway, hold the light, and it'll all happen peacefully with music and love.
Hold the light, it's so bright. I can't describe it, but it's right and easy to find it. Hold the light. And I know what I want. I can try to enlighten you. If you've seen it, better keep it. Don't let go. It's things I would like to teach. If you've seen it, better keep it. Don't let go.
You are listening to the home of the independent artist. Artist First World Radio. Stand by for CBS News.